Well, welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Banner Austin.
And part of the mission of the BYU Management Society is to provide scholarships for service-oriented high school seniors. Each year, approximately 50 deserving students are awarded scholarships to local colleges or trade schools. If your family or business would like to join in providing scholarships to these future leaders by sponsoring a podcast, please contact us at byupodcasts.slc@gmail.com, and we'd love to speak with you. And each time we do this, I have to pinch myself. I feel so lucky for the opportunity, and today we are so blessed to be able to meet with David Butler. David Butler's greatest love is people. He had adopted as a life motto, stuff no matter, people matter. His favorite people are his wife, Jenny, and their 6 darling children. Some of his other loves include good food, spontaneous adventures, Christmas morning, and the sea. David co-hosts a popular YouTube scripture study channel, Don't Miss This, with Emily Bell Freeman, and is the author of many religious books, including Ites, An Illustrated Guide to the People in the Book of Mormon, The Peter Potential, and Almighty, How the Most Powerful Being in the Universe is Also Your Loving Father. And possibly my favorite fact about David was that he was a parent builder last summer and went to Malawi on a service trip with my daughter, Banner, and had a great impact on her life. David, welcome and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The bio was too long, but thank you.
Well, Banner, you know David a whole lot better than I do. I'm going to let you ask the first question.
All right. David, give the listeners an inside glimpse of what we're doing in our time in Africa. I loved Africa. It was like seriously a life-changing experience. But tell people a little bit what we were doing and what your favorite part of it was.
Oh, man. We went over there to Malawi to, there was this school in this village that we were in. Village, is that the right word, Banner? That sounds right, right? Village.
Yeah,
right. Didn't really feel like a city.
You know?
Down a long dirt road that the kids would run alongside the bus as you would drive, be like a parade every time we were there. But there was a school, there's a school there in that city that is so overcrowded. They have like over 2,000 students that were squished into 5 or 6 classroom buildings. And so we were there building an extra classroom building for that particular school. And so we did it together with a collection of other groups. Like groups go 2 weeks at a time. And so we mixed a lot of cement and we built up, we laid a foundation and we built up some walls about to like, I don't know, shoulder height, maybe a little higher before we passed the baton onto the next group. But it was a lot of hard, like construction labor. But it also felt like every day, like really meaningful. Like there were days that like it was time for us to leave and nobody wanted to leave, you know, because it was just, we wanted to get the project done. We wanted them to have their school. And I think 2 of my favorite parts are, one was afterwards, like a couple weeks after we got home, someone sent a picture in our group message of the finished school with like the kids sitting in it and using it. And it just was like really rad to feel like, oh my gosh, I helped kind of bring that about. And it's not just a classroom, but it's, you know, obviously education. When somebody gets an education, they better their lives and they better their communities. And so it was just kind of like neat to offer that small gift there. And then, so that was cool. But I had this conversation with a guy who would come help us. He was a preacher, a local preacher. And we actually went and visited his orphanage while we were there. But his name was James, and James Genesis. That was his name. How about that for a name?
And
he said to me on the last day, you thought you came here to build schools, a school, but you actually came here to build relationships. And that was true. It was true for the people in that village. It was true for the people that we worked alongside with. It was true for our group that we went together with. And it was true for like our relationship that each of us were able to strengthen and build with God while we were there. And thinking, and I just think being a part of his work. And so I think that was my favorite part, was just the relationships that have come from it.
And I have seen secondhand the benefit of humanitarian XP with our older son going to Cape Verde and Banner going to Malawi and our younger son going to Guatemala. Can you talk a little bit about Humanitarian XP, the organization, and how you got involved with it, why it's so powerful?
I got involved with it accidentally, but I feel like it's serendipitous, because I everything about that organization embodies like my virtues, my values, the things that I think are most important. It's an organization that's been around for over 20 years, actually. And it started with a dad who wanted to give his son an experience outside of his normal, like just a normal, you know, American Western life. And he's like, I want you to kind of see what this world looks like and to see, you know, the way other people live and to see and to learn from them and to make connections with them. And so he arranged this little trip with his son and a bunch of buddies, and they went, I think, down to Brazil, if I remember right. And anyways, and then it just kind of caught fire and kept going. And over the last couple of years, there's the kind of the vision and leadership of their current CEO has just expanded to, I think they're up to like 130, 140 locations. This year, they're going to send over 5,000 youth just to all over the world. And, you know, they have a motto there, that is kind of encapsulates their mission, which is love God, love people. And it's just really simple, but it's like, this is what, when somebody asked Jesus, what's the most important thing we can do with our life? That was his answer. He was like, it's really simple. You just love God and love people. And that's the mission of that organization, you know, to discover, to serve and to love and to, you know, to recognize that we're all part of one big human family, that we're all on this earth together at the same time. And we've been gifted with different things to help each other out. And mine might be money and resources, and theirs might be compassion and patience or whatever the gifts are that we share with each other, you know, but it just helps to just get outside of yourself and to see like, wow, we are a part of something really big and really meaningful. And in the meantime, some of the effects that happen are you really do grow closer to God, and you grow closer to other people as part of it. So I cannot figure out I came home from that trip and I talked to several other parents who went on trips, and just people who went as builders on the trips. And I was just like, was yours as good as ours? Like, was your trip as good as ours? I'm convinced they weren't. Ours is at a different level, but like 1% less. Everybody else was at a 99. We're at 100. Everyone else, like,
you're 110. What are you talking about?
I was shocked. Like that everybody else was having such meaningful experiences wherever they were, in Appalachia, in Peru, in Thailand, in the islands, in Africa, like everywhere people were, domestic or international. There's something about gathering together for a common cause that is good, that just, I can't think of anything more meaningful to do with my time and money. And so it just is, it really is a magic organization. So once I stumbled upon it, like, I've just kind of said, whatever you need from me, I am going to help you out with. Not that they need my help, but it's more like, I just want to be involved. I want to be involved in a cause like that.
I love that. You've been talking a lot about people, and David, one of your best traits is that you love people. And that's something I look up to a lot. From you. And one of the things I appreciated most about Africa was that even though they had literally nothing, they acted like they had everything, and they cared about each other and they cared about us, and they just had so much love. And how do we be like them and care more about people than things?
Well, I mean, I think it's really just seems like a mind shift, you know. The one disadvantage that a lot of
Western people have, I guess, or a lot, well, I should say a lot, not necessarily Western people, but an advantage that a lot of people who have comfortable lives have is it's really easy to be distracted by stuff, you know, like we just, it just is, it's part of our human nature, I think, to like things, you know, and to have that. And we have that distraction. Some people have the luxury of not having that distraction, you know. My brother was down in Paraguay and talking with a family down there. And he just said, I think sometimes maybe Americans may come here and they think that we're sad because of the things that we don't have. And it's like, we're not, we have like, you know, we have happy lives. And that's not to say that there's not like, there aren't legitimate needs in the world, because for sure there are, like locally and far away from us. Also, there's a lot of like lack and hurt in the world, and I feel like we should do something about it. I just think it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of like, wait, where am I going to, I choose where to put my time, and I choose where to put my money, and I choose where to put my attention, and I choose like what to be passionate about, you know? And so it's just like, if I'm choosing things, it's because I believe that those things are going to make my life what I want it to be, you know? But whether we recognize that's the story we're telling ourselves, that is what we're telling ourselves. We're like, I'm spending time here because I actually think this is most beneficial to me to spend time here. And so I think it's just a matter of like recognizing and realizing like, wait, that's not true. Like nothing holds a candle to people and relationships with people. Like it just, and once you get a taste of that, you'll still be tempted by stuff, like always. Like, I just think it's like second, it's like part of our nature. Mm-hmm. At least once you've tasted it, you can realize, no, I've lived a different way before. And I want to do that again. So some places you don't have a choice. You can't like stuff because you don't have it. Yeah. And so lucky them, right?
Yeah.
As long as they have enough stuff to live. I mean, I'm talking about somebody who has enough stuff to like live and like be healthy and have healthcare and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But just like, man, I mean, it's just so fundamental. It's so funny that it's just like, everybody knows that's true. Everybody knows that's what brings the most meaning to life, our relationships and people. And yet we keep trying other stuff. It's just, you know, so I'm so grateful for organizations like Humanitarian XP or people like they have there that just help you kind of remember, wait, it's a lot more simple than you're making it. And life can be a lot more meaningful if you'll just, you know, step back for a second and see that. So,
as you know, David Benner is getting ready to leave for Portugal on a mission.
Yes.
And it got me thinking, what makes up the most effective missionaries?
Oh, my goodness. What we're talking about. Like, there's a difference between feeling like this, having a cultural understanding or a list mentality of this is what missionaries are supposed to do, versus like understanding like my role is to love and serve people like where they are and as they are. To like, I wish I'd had this definition of missionary work when I was a missionary. Like, I think I worked hard and I did it. I just didn't have, like, until later on in my mission, a vision of missionary work is taking somebody by the hand and walking them to meet Jesus. Like, I just wish that I had like thought through that a little bit more clearly, that I'm just like, I am just trying to introduce people to the God I know is what I'm doing. And then also there's room to just help them in all aspects of their life. Also, like, that's a main focus of a missionary, but then they also are there to just like, hey, whatever you need that I can give, it's going to make your life better. I'm going to do that. But I think the thing that would improve your life the most is coming to know who Jesus is, and letting people take their own journeys there and letting them take their own time and just being like people need spiritual mentors, you know, like we just like, it's hard to motivate ourselves spiritually. And so a missionary comes in and they're just like, listen, I will be the one in charge of reminding you about this and kind of inviting you along and just like making sure that you're thinking, you know, about this. Just because, again, people get distracted by other stuff. So it's cool to have somebody come in and just completely dedicated to be a spiritual mentor. And so I think if a missionary is people-centered, then I think that they're the best ones.
I love that. Just one last question. Something you shared had a really strong impact on me. One of my favorite quotes is to treat each person like they're going through a crisis, and most of the time you'll be right. And in one of your Instagram posts, you talked about handling with care. And what does that mean for you, and how can we better do that for each other?
Well, it's funny because, I mean, I think we're all pretty, we're way more similar to each other than we are different, you know? And the more you get close and get to know people, the more you discover that. And I do a pretty good job of hiding the things that I'm carrying and the things that I'm worried about. And I think everybody, the more you get to know people, I think you figure that out too, that they're just like, oh, that they're carrying things that they are worried about, that they're struggling with, that they are getting down on themselves about, that they feel hopeless about, that they're, you know, under a lot of weight, and that's just like default. And then you have like certain, you know, periods of life that are even harder, you know, than that. And I just think, that whole idea of handle with care, you know, if it's stamped on a package or something like that, that's on your front porch, you know, you don't know what's inside it, but you know, oh, I better be super careful when I carry this in. You know, someone's reminded me that, oh, there's something in here that's breakable, or there's something in here that's like fragile. So make sure you're extra gentle with it. And people sit inside boxes too. You know, we hide what's fragile or tough inside. And it kind of would be nice if people were just stamped, you know, with handle with care, particularly on days that they feel extra, extra fragile. And I just feel like it's good. People aren't stamped that way, but I wanted to start thinking about people that way. My daughter's teacher at school, where I started thinking about this, wrote an email to all the parents and just said, hey, I don't have to know all the details of what's happening in your kids' lives if you don't want to share them or whatever, but if there's a particularly hard night or something's going on, will you just please send me their name? And then just the subject line, handle with care. And then she was like, and then I'll be particularly careful with them that day. I'll give extra patience. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt more. And I just kind of thought, should I send that email every day? Because I feel like, why would you not, you know, like, yeah. Could you ever imagine an Amazon package that arrived on your house, on your doorstep that had the stamp, go ahead and kick this one around, like, you know, like treat this one maliciously. It's fine. It can handle it. It's strong. Like what's inside is really strong. And it's like, that would be so dumb. So why should we ever do that with people, you know, like, yeah. It's like, why don't, let's treat them, let's handle with care always. And then if something's not particularly hard at that time, oh, well, how nice that you were just extra nice to them. Like, it is like niceness is just great no matter what. So should we?
True. Amen.
You're awesome. I know we're out of time, but I'll let you have a last word if there's anything else you'd like to say.
Oh, I think I, that last question, I think is just one that's been on my mind. So, you know, just so much. And just as a personal, you know, indulgence here, as we're talking about makes a missionary really good. Like, I just think what I saw from our whole group over there in Africa, and particularly what I saw in Banner, is it just makes me excited to anybody who loves the way that she does and cares so deeply about people aren't just going to be a great missionary. They're just going to be a great human being the whole time that they're, and whatever it is they're doing, whether they're a missionary or a boss or a mom or whatever they are, like all of those positions involve relationships with other people. And it's just like it's a good way to live, just people centered. And, you know, I served as a bishop a couple of years ago, and I got some advice from somebody who just said, there's going to be a lot of people that you won't be able to solve their problems. And he's like, and that's okay, because, you know, their problems aren't really yours to carry. Like they are Jesus's to carry. So, but he says, your job with people is to breathe hope into them and to just encourage and just like be there next to them. Like, I can't fix this, but I'll walk alongside it with you, and I'll remind you, you know, of what you need to know and who you are, and just breathe hope in to the situation. So, it's just whatever capacity, whatever position anybody's in anywhere, there is always a space to breathe hope and to encourage people.
You're awesome, David. We're so grateful to you for taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule, just barely got back from Greece and still with us on this podcast and right before Banner leaves. So thank you for sandwiching it in.
Yes, of course. Of course. It's my pleasure. Chick-fil-A.
You're the best.
Talk to you later. You. And thank you again to all of our
love
listeners.
You, David.
Next month with another episode of our Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast.